The boys taking an extra day off for an extended Labor Day weekend, which means you get Jeff Meller and Jesse Rogers in their stead today. It has been a very newsy Friday today. It all kicked off when we got word officially from the Bears that their president and CEO, Ted Phillips, is going to retire after the 2022 season in February. It will conclude 40 seasons at the helm with the Chicago Bears. So we got that word. We talked a lot about that earlier today. We also got news that the White Sox have flipped to Joe Kelly to take the ball at the start of the game. He will be an opener tonight before Davis Martin takes the ball. We'll have your White Sox pregame coverage coming your way at 6:30 when Tyler Aki takes over tonight. And the big news that we just got that just came down that probably is going to impact us the most as Chicago sports fans for the foreseeable future. Chicago Bulls guard Lonzo Ball is expected to miss training camp, and he's doubtful to start the NBA season. And, of course, this is a big blow because he had surgery back in at the end of January, and initially it was believed that it was only going to be 6 to 8 weeks until he returned.
I think it's been longer than 6 to 8 weeks.
Yes, yes, it has indeed. At the time when Lonzo Ball played his last game, actually on my birthday, on January 14th, believe it or not, Jess, the Bulls had a record of 27-13. As you pointed out, they were playing really good basketball at the time. Afterwards, they went 19-23 down the stretch without him. And we don't know exactly, we don't have clarity about when he'll return, but obviously this is not good, having lingering pain and discomfort from the surgery in his knee. So this is what we're dealing with right now. In addition to the fact that your division rival, the Cleveland Cavaliers, just landed a superstar trading for Donovan Mitchell.
I mean, if you're a diehard, you're pretty depressed right now. The Mitchell thing was one thing, but a fully healthy Bulls team, you know, could probably battle with anybody in the East, so to speak. You know what I mean? Not for the first place, but you know, you have a decent team if everyone's healthy.
You know, 27-13.
Right.
You know, halfway through the season last year.
And Lonzo was playing well.
Yes.
Like I said, the decision making, his 3-point shooting.
He's the straw that stirs the drink.
Yeah, now he's out. So I just, how depressed are you? 312-332-3776. I mean, it's hard to get worse news in early September about your favorite team if you're a Bulls diehard.
And Lonzo Ball, who had some knee issues when the Bulls signed him, you know, this is, you know, not necessarily going to, we have to, you know, I don't know what we don't, with injuries and when you're dealing with, he's already had surgery and you mentioned this, you know, getting the 6 to 8 week timeline clearly wrong. It's problematic for the foreseeable future because clearly Lonzo Ball was somebody who Arturs Karnišovas and Mark Eversley identified as a key piece to what they were trying to build. They spent a good chunk of change on him last offseason, and the fact that he couldn't finish the first season and he's not going to be able to start the second season, you know, the knee issues for a basketball player is a very troubling sign.
Now, a source in the story reiterates that it's structurally sound after he underwent the arthroscopic surgery. But does he have to go under the knife again? Yeah. I mean, this is now, what, 9 months? 9 months later?
Yeah, in January.
Way off the timeline. Not that every timeline is. That's why every medical person will say, if all things were. You know, they always throw a caveat out there. But they're going to have to relook at this thing and figure out where to go from here because it's gone backwards.
And to your point, it calls everything into question because, you know, pain and discomfort is not ideal. And the problem at this point is you don't know what you don't know, right? Like, we need to see if he's going to have to consult with doctors. Team physicians will, you know, look at him when he gets here. But this is very discouraging for Bulls fans and, you know, the long-term health of the organization, not just the player, but also the team, because he is critical to their success. I don't think they have a path to a strong playoff showing if he's not going to be able to contribute in a meaningful way next year.
Yeah, it's just, there's no way to circle this and say, and find the silver lining or positive. There's just nothing good about it.
Yeah,
it'd be one thing if they were on top of the world and they lost one player for a period of time, they could cover it. They're not. They're a middling team if you look at the Eastern Conference teams, and now they lose their leader in point guard and a player that was really good last year when he was healthy.
Yeah, they signed him to that four-year, $80 million deal, so you're entering year two right now, and he is not going to be able to begin the season. This is a blow for Bulls fans. Again, Lonzo Ball not going to participate in training camp and doubtful for the start of the season. Mike is in Northbrook, wants to chime in. Mike, you're on Waddle and Sylvie, Meller and Rogers in for the boys today. What's going on?
Hello to all four of you. Just joking. Hello to both of you. So, hey, you know, it's funny. Even before this, and this is devastating news because it's not on par, of course, with the Derrick Rose, but here you have a lead player, lead guard, even though he may be the third best player. As you guys point out, it's ball handling skills, the defense, the whole deal. This was a prime get, and I give the Bulls credit. This is very rare that I give them credit, but they got rid of Paxson. But here's the problem. They're maybe a 6 or 7 right now as it is. Their payroll is, 16th or 17th in the NBA. They're a top 5 market. I know all fans want to spend more money. I'm not saying we should do it, but they have always underspent this team. And what's sad about this is they don't need to. They make hand over foot. They make tons of money, and they're allowed to. None of us are saying they shouldn't. Good for them. But the sad thing is, and I'll just wrap it up, there are players to be had out there. I don't want to get too much in the weeds, but there are guys Indiana is shopping. That would be fantastic for the Bulls. The Bulls have picks. The Bulls can assume these contracts. If we had an owner who was very good early on, they were really good. They didn't know what they had, and they spent well with Michael Jordan. Of course, they had Jordan. But if we had an owner that was a little more competitive, we have to. If Reinsdorf owned the Golden State Warriors, there'd never be a Warriors. Huh. I'm not saying they got to spend a zillion dollars, but we're not a competitive payroll year in, year out, and they don't make deadline deals either, as you guys know. I'm very. It's very sad what's happened to the Bulls franchise.
I'll echo your sentiments, because the one thing that drives me crazy is when I hear Jerry Reinsdorf, Michael Reinsdorf now say the same thing. If they're a championship caliber team, they're willing to go into the luxury tax. Well, who determines whether or not you're a championship caliber team? Right, Mike? Right, Jess? Is you're the ones responsible for putting a roster out there. Guess what? Put a better roster out there. You might be championship caliber if you actually go out and go into the luxury tax, something they've never been willing to do.
I mean, Mike could be calling about the White Sox as much as the Bulls. That call was exactly the same kind of call a White Sox fan would say. What's the common thread? The owner. Now, at one point, I don't know if we have to go all the way back to the 90s Bulls, but it feels like, I've covered Jerry Reinsdorf my whole career, to be honest. Feels like he was a little bit more aggressive back in the day. He's older now, probably a little less aggressive, probably more interested in the investments on both teams.
Really, though, but you know what's interesting is not everybody approaches things like that. Mike Ilitch in Detroit,
I know.
Got very aggressive with his spending as he in his later years.
Yeah, because he wanted to win one before.
Yeah, before what ultimately happens to everybody.
Right.
And so that's interesting. But you're right. It does seem like he has become less aggressive. There was a time when the White Sox actually brought Albert Bell into the fold.
After the strike, it was very
the
famous.
Largest contract.
There were moments where he spent, but not like all in. He's never kind of done that. One of four teams not to give out a $100 million contract. So the point is, the point resonates with the two teams he owns in town.
Let's try Jason, who's in Evanston. Hey, Jason, you're on Waddle and Sylvie with Jesse and Meller in today.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say, and sort of to echo the what you guys have been talking about, I mean, I think the Bulls, or Reinsdorf, has been willing to spend. I mean, I think just not wisely. They spent poorly on Carlos Boozer. They spent poorly on Ben Wallace back in the day. So, I mean, I think he's been willing to spend money on players. Just they haven't been able to attract the right player for the situation. I think recently, with DeRozan coming in, bringing Lonzo Ball, and the decisions that they've made, like, that was spending, and that was spending wisely, I think, in my opinion. But to talk about Ball and the impact that, losing him has on this team, I mean, it's obvious. Like, they can't survive, and they haven't been able to survive without a legitimate point guard since Thibodeau was the coach. I mean, he had an ability to maximize the backup point guard better than any coach I've ever seen, and he's got those guys paid, right? And so now you look at what the Bulls have done since Thibodeau. They haven't had a legitimate point guard since. And Lonzo Ball was the closest thing. And you can see his impact, you know, with DeMar having to bring the ball up the court, with Zach having to do a lot more ball handling, which, you know, is okay at times. But, I mean, he's obviously a better player off the ball. And you know, that time with DeMar having the ball in his hands, you know, first through third quarter, I mean, it bogged down on him in the fourth quarter when he was most effective, right? So when they became reliant upon that. So I think that they need to do whatever they can to solve this now and not you know, be penny wise and basketball stupid, right?
Sure. No, right. Jason, they're all very valid points. I think the problem is I don't know what the path is to, you know, for a solution here, because we're talking about a $20 million a year player who's not going to be available to you. Now, it's not like you can just trade him for another $20 million a year player. No other team in the league is going to go ahead and sign up for that. You have a problem. They're demonstrably better when Lonzo Ball is your starting point guard.
I'd say the only tiny, tiny silver lining is knowing this now. All right, you already played half a season without him. Now you have a full training camp without him. You should be better than you were in the second half without him last year. But that's a small consolation prize. Just the knowledge of not having him isn't much of a consolation prize. So, yeah, I'm with you. Other than that, other than having time to work without him, what can you do? This was a star player making a big, big number, and training camps are about to open.
I mean, the only thing I can say is, and maybe our next caller will bring this up, but Ayo Dosunmu was in the old National Bank studio the other day with Waddle and Sylvie. It was a week ago, Tyler?
About a week ago, yeah.
Yeah, we had Ayo Dosunmu in studio for an hour. If you missed it, check out the podcast, ESPN Chicago app. He was excellent, and it was encouraging to hear him talk. I truly believed it. You know, people will say this, but Tyler, you can let me know if you agree. It truly felt like he's somebody who's working to get better. Like, that was the message he was.
But he's not the only one.
Right. No, no doubt about it. But, like, Ayo is somebody who I think he can go up a level.
Oh, there's no doubt. That's how this team is better than they were in the second half last year if he takes a step.
But the opportunity here potentially provides an opening for him to get.
Well, just think about it, too. When we saw him in here, he was physically bigger from a year before. He was very, very skinny last year. He clearly put on some muscle.
Yes. Yeah, that's great, but that doesn't solve
much. No, you're right. I'm just trying to...
The second-year player in Cleveland is bigger and put on more muscle.
You're right. Evan Mobley is probably stronger, faster. But what I will say is that, you know what? The minutes were going to be, he was going to have to fight for them. There's a potential opening here, and the Bulls have a player on their roster who can
with a higher ceiling, could fill the void a little bit.
And Io's also one of those players. He's from the Lonzo Ball mold, 6'4", 6'5", long, lanky, defensive-minded, and eventually, you'd imagine, he's going to take the trajectory that Lonzo took when he came into the league of, wasn't a stellar three-point shooter at the beginning of his career, but continually got better because that's an easy skill set to fix in the NBA, especially as a guard.
Yes, you would hope so. Let's try Harold and Skokie. Hey, Harold, you're on ESPN 1000.
What's up, boys? So, Jesse, you're right. You absolutely said it perfect. And actually, there's pros and cons about this. First of all, I mean, like Jesse said, like, we should be probably prepared that we were probably going to miss him. Probably, like, let's say, I'm just throwing a theory. Let's say the beginning of the half of the season, we should have went out and it went to, like, find a guard. Like, I love the fact that, yeah, Caruso could get out of his comfort zone, and he can be that guard plus play defense, you know? Also, like you guys mentioned, Ayo is, like, a developing kid. Give him more time. Like, let him play that position, you know? Or my second option is, yeah, go find a Rajon Rondo or go get a Cameron Payne to fill in that gap, you know, just for half of the season or whatever the case, or however Lonzo needs time to heal, you know? But that's just my thoughts, and I want to hear your thoughts about that, man. You guys have a good Labor Day weekend, okay?
I guess what he's saying is, could they have prepared more knowing that this was
coming, potentially?
Yeah, that things weren't progressing. Go out and find a different guard, a more starting-oriented point guard.
But you're limited in your resources, right? And the truth is that I know, now this is another can of worms if we could open up Vooch, you know, there's been conversations that he could be somebody who they extend after this year is up. And if that's the case, you know, where do you allocate your resources when you have a limited amount of them? And that's why I brought up Io, because he's on the roster and he's somebody who, second year in the league, has the potential to get better. I don't know if there was a solution on the market who you could have brought in with the uncertainty surrounding Lonzo Ball, because let's be honest, they're probably hoping that with the time off, he might, Lonzo that is, get better and feel better, and he would hopefully be ready for the start of the season.
Well, yeah, they must have figured a whole offseason would do it, but
yes,
but they knew there were some signs. It was never like full speed ahead. It was never that definitive. Yes. We can even go back through the quotes. They knew that. So they're sort of caught between a rock and a hard place.
Taking your calls on Lonzo Ball and the fact that he will not be available for training camp and he's doubtful for the start of the season. Also talking about Ted Phillips retiring at the end of the season. He will be leaving his role as team president and CEO of the Bears. They will begin a search with some internal candidates we're hearing as possibilities to replace Ted Phillips. We're also talking to you. Let us know what you want to talk about. Devin is in Evergreen Park. Devin, you're on Waddle and Sylvie with Mellor and Jesse. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Quick thing about the Bulls. They did pick up Goran Dragic. I know he's not the same person that he was, you know, like 6-7 years ago, but hey, at least they did get someone that could play point guard.
Yeah, they did. You're right about that.
Yeah, Ted Phillips, I mean, this is what we've all been talking about all summer long is, you know, they need to clean the, you know, the system from the top to the bottom, and now they finally did it, and people are still kind of complaining about, oh, it's the same old Bears. It's like, we just got rid of Ted Phillips, which we've been wanting for such a long time. I think our prayers have been answered. And Ryan Poles, I think he's doing a great job on the line. He's a former lineman himself, so he knows how to judge talent when it comes to linemen, and that's all he's been doing is picking up linemen. He picked up that guy from Miami, sure, who's a tackle that they were going to put on the practice squad. He's a rookie that they just drafted. Then they went and picked up that Leatherwood or whatever his name is.
Yep.
So I think he's been addressing the line, and everybody's sitting there complaining like that guy earlier, like, they need to give me a line. It's like, well, what do you think he's doing?
No, it's a great point, Devin. I think Ryan Poles, again, like what I can judge what he's doing, the way he's approached the roster building, I have been very encouraged, because the truth is, the Bears were very active when it came to making waiver claims. They had the 7th priority. They put in the most claims of any team. They rewarded 6 players off of waivers. Ryan Poles recognizes that the depth on this roster is not there. And honestly, the higher end talents is not really there when you look at it across, you know, in comparison to the rest of the league. He recognizes that. He's doing what he can to build out the bottom of this roster. He's leaving no stone unturned, and I like that approach, because nobody on the roster has really earned a free lunch, and so he's saying, I'm going to look for talent anywhere I can find it. Actually, you know what? I will play for anyone who missed it yesterday. He was asked specifically, hey, what are you going to do with this wide receiver core? Because everybody seems to be banged up. They only have 3 healthy bodies at this point. What are they going to do? Are you looking to add any wide receivers to this banged up unit? This is what Ryan Poles said yesterday when meeting the media.
I've explained this before. We're going to be relentless and constantly look for talent, and we'll be aggressive when we need to be aggressive and conservative when we need to be conservative, but we're always looking to get better.
And I think that goes to stand not just with the receiving unit, but everywhere on the roster. So, you know, he's approaching it like it's a clean slate. I'm going to do my best to build up the best roster possible.
Did we disrespect Goran Dragic by not giving him his due? I mean, 36 years old. Replacement Lonzo Ball is, you know.
We talked about it when it happened, too. This kind of felt like it was AK and Eversley showing their hand a little bit, that they weren't overly confident Lonzo would be ready this season, at least at the start, because you don't carry 3-4 point guards on your team.
Right. I agree. I agree. We should say they did address it, but
Dragic played 21 games last season.
And he's 36 years old.
He's 36. Yeah. His most memorable, I'm sure, the most memorable Goran Dragic moment to Bulls fans is Derrick Rose dunking on him and becoming the, you know, Stacey King busting out the poster machine, if you recall. Dragic was on the other end of that when Derrick Rose slammed on him. And the fact that we're going back to Derrick Rose providing
highlight reel plays on Goran Dragic's head.
So yes, they
should go to show
they physically have point guards. You know what I mean? Like they have bodies that can play point guard, but
yeah, Dragic is not going to be the solution to
right.
If Goran Dragic is the answer, what's the question we're asking here? I don't know, because I don't think it's leading your team to, you know, the question is not which point guard is going to lead your team to the playoffs.
Right. What percentage of Lonzo Ball is he right now? I mean, you know, is he 25%?
Yeah.
Most?
And at 36 years old, you know, a guy who's had injuries of his own, I don't know how much I can count on Goran Dragic to be the solution. That's why I'm pointing to someone like Ayo Dosunmu. I'm Jeff Meller. He's Jesse Rogers. We're in for Waddle and Sylvie. Plenty more to talk about. Lonzo Ball's injury, Bears and Ted Phillips retiring at the end of the season. Whatever you want to talk about. It's Labor Day weekend. Jesse is a fan of a new college football team. He'll explain to us why next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Jeff Meller and Jesse Rogers hanging out with you until 6 o'clock. We will crosstalk with Adam Abdallah as he has a solo edition of Black and Abdallah this evening until White Sox pregame coverage given to you by Tyler Aki this evening. Connor McKnight and Darren Jackson will be on the call as the White Sox welcome in the Minnesota Twins for a big weekend series. Real quick, Lewis, Jesse saw your topic and he said you have to squeeze him in, Meller, because I have to know what Lewis wants to know.
Or I said the opposite. Lewis, go ahead, Lewis.
What's going on, bud? Hey, quickly, my man.
Hey, Jesse. Hey, Jeff. Thanks for taking my call. I just, you guys talking about what to watch this weekend. I just wasn't sure. Jeff, are you watching the Derby time, Derby?
Sure, Lewis.
What, listen. The Kentucky Liverpool Derbies this Liverpool weekend?
The Merseyside Derby, Everton and Liverpool. Will I be watching? Lewis, I watch Liverpool every single game. I can guarantee you I will be watching. And hopefully, because Everton is at its lowest point in some time, hopefully Liverpool will take care of business.
Yeah, it's 6 in the morning, so I don't know if you'll be
waking
so early.
I will wake up for Liverpool. It's one day a week. One day during the weekend, I will wake up for them and check it out. What else I got better to do at 6 in the morning, right, Jess?
Nothing.
Thanks, man.
I know.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, Lewis.
You really have nothing better to do at 6:30 in the evening.
You know what? No, you know what, Lewis? Lewis? Jesse?
I'm Jesse.
That's what you do. I'll saying goodbye to Lewis. Jesse, that's what you do when you're a fan. You wake up early to watch your team.
That leads me into the rules of being a fan, okay? That's what this segment is called, and I want to get some react here. 312-332-3776. I've had this argument, for some reason, with my wife a lot, and other people as well. But let me start off by saying I am a new fan of Iowa football, Iowa Hawkeye football. They start their season tomorrow, San Diego State. South Dakota State, sorry. South Dakota State versus
You're
locked in. South Dakota State, I'm going there in 2 weeks. Now, why am I a fan? Because my daughter is a freshman at Iowa. Okay? That makes sense, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm allowed. I'm allowed.
Forget allowed. I think when you're ponying up
a nice chunk of change for
tuition, you are absolutely...
I bought some fandom.
Not only are you allowed, I think you're almost required when you're donating, not donating, but when you're, you know, giving them a large chunk of money, yes.
So I am now a fan of Iowa. That makes sense. So let me give you the rules of being a fan and the one thing that doesn't make sense. Okay, so I could be a fan of the team, school I went to, of course, Northern Illinois, who beat Yurko's Eastern Illinois team last night. So, of course, I'm a fan of Northern.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when my daughter was young, if she cared, she might be a fan of Northern because I went there. But now she goes to Iowa, so she's a fan of Iowa. So that all makes sense. Your kid can be a fan of your college team until they go to college themselves. Okay, now let's go to the professional ranks. If I grew up in Green Bay, God forbid, and as an adult I moved to Chicago, I can remain a Packers fan. That's legal, right?
Absolutely. I would actually forget legal. I think it would almost be, again, I think that's required if you grow up a fan of a team.
Right.
Even if you move, I think it's a little bit more noble to remain that team's fan.
Here's the problem I have when you have kids. 312-332-3776. I grew up in Green Bay. As an adult, I moved to Chicago. I have my kids in Chicago. They should be Bears fans. They should not be Packers fans. Just because I grew up in Green Bay and I'm a Packers fan, you should not point your kids in that direction of where you grew up. Your kid should be a fan of the team, the city he grows up or he or she grows up in, because that's what all their friends are going to be. And that communal feeling of going to a game. So what, my kid's going to not care about going to the Bears ever because I grew up in Green Bay? So that annoys me when a dad or mom
from
Cleveland, from wherever,
move here,
directs their kids that were born here to be fans of the team they grew up with.
No, I feel that like breaks fandom, the rules. That breaks is the rules. Family heritage,
yeah,
to a degree.
So I knew I'd be in the minority.
I think the truth is I'm okay with the children supporting the team that their parents, because listen, you're watching the team, your parents are watching the team they love play, and so it's only natural that you would potentially follow.
But if I was a good parent, fine, I'd watch my Packer game, but I'd also at a certain age start putting on the Bears. My kid is going to school here. He's going to have friends wearing Bears jerseys.
Now, it's interesting because my best friend, Kevin Cousy, his dad, Gino, grew up rooting for the Packers. Kevin moved here, lived his whole life, born and raised in Chicago. He's a Bears fan.
I like that guy.
His dad, Gino, is a Packers fan. My best friend, Kevin Cousy, diehard Bears fan with me.
I see.
Goes to a lot of Bears games with me.
And I like Gino because Gino didn't force it upon him.
But that's the thing, is he didn't force it upon him. But I think if Kev had actually, because he grew up in a household where his dad was rooting for the Packers, if Kevin had naturally...
Well, then how did he break away from that?
I don't know if I've ever had the actual...
You live here, you go to school, you start hearing the news, this and that. Back in the day, we didn't have internet and stuff. So it's like the Bears were on TV and that was it.
Now, I had an interesting experience. My kids... We lived in Chicago up until they were six when we moved. We moved to Madison, Jess, for 18 months. I moved to Madison.
I'm sorry.
Madison, Wisconsin.
Walked me right into it.
So we moved to Madison for 18 months. So they spent almost two full school years in second and third grade in Wisconsin. They actually, as a reward, believe it or not, when the class, I don't remember what exactly they did, but they had like a goal they had to reach. And when the class reached the goal, the reward in Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin, the kids got to take a class picture with a cardboard cutout of Aaron Rodgers. This was a class
reward.
This was a class reward.
Sounds like a punishment.
And I don't remember specifically what they accomplished, why, but the whole class was rewarded.
But it was in Madison. It made sense.
In Madison, Wisconsin. Jess, my son refused to take the picture because he was a Bears fan. It's one of my proudest moments as a dad.
Because you were a Bears fan.
Because I was a Bears fan.
Which makes sense.
I raised him in Chicago.
Very young.
But it was the reverse. Now here's the thing. I did not compel him to root for the Bears. He just grew up for 6 years rooting for the Bears. Not even 6 years, because obviously your first 3 or 4 years, you're not really aware of everything that's going on, right? But by 5 and 6, he knew the Bears were in his blood. We moved to Wisconsin. He had to take the ribbing. You know what happened? It was a rough couple of years because the Packers obviously were beating down the Bears like they always did.
But that's a little weird because he was young and moved in, you know, he lived in Illinois and in Wisconsin at a very young age. So no wonder the kid's confused.
Not confused. His allegiance is to the Bears
fans.
That's
good.
But I'm almost violating your rule in the sense that we moved to Wisconsin. But it was already ingrained.
He'd already been born, so that's a loophole. But that's my one rule. You cannot let your kid be a fan of the team he's born and grown, the city that he's born and grows up in.
All right, let's see what Robert in Naperville has to say. He wants to weigh in on the topic. Robbie, you're on with Jesse and Meller in for Waddle and Sylvie today.
Hey, gentlemen. I appreciate you guys taking the call today. Real quick, so I did live, it's funny that you mentioned Madison, Wisconsin. I also lived in Madison, Wisconsin, and I had an issue where my son was going to school there, and the gym teacher in elementary school, I think the fourth grade, told him he had to root for the Green Bay Packers. Said, you don't have a choice.
all the kids in the gym class had to root for Green Bay. So he came home from school and said, Dad, my son wasn't even a sports fan. To this day, he still is not a sports fan. And the gym teacher said, you have to do this. So I was livid, me being from Chicago. I called the principal, and I said, look, you guys influence our children enough. Why in the world are you going to tell them what team to root for? I mean, he's not a Packer fan. He's not even a Bear fan. He said he liked the team with the horseshoe, which was the Colts. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. You can root for them. I was like, they at least have Peyton Manning and whatever. I was like, I don't even care. The Bears were bad at that time. So after that point, I indoctrinated my other two sons to be Bears fans. So now I moved back from Madison. I live in the Chicagoland area, and they're all Bears fans. But the only other thing I would say to that is that this. As I was in Madison, I was working as the store manager for a well-known company. I won't say the name of it. The district manager said we all had to wear Green Bay Packers Super Bowl shirts. This is when they won the Super Bowl. Mm. And we were eating dinner on the Dallas Cowboys, field for the company dinner, and we were eating with Clay Matthews. So I'm like, are you kidding me? So there were store managers that were Viking fans. They were emailing the district managers like, look, this is my position. This is what I said to do. If you don't like it, you can quit your job as a store manager. I'm like, seriously, this is what we're doing? So I was like, you know what, fine. I just got a 30% promotion, and I was a co-manager. I was trying to be a store manager, so I was forced to wear the shirt. So as I was forced to wear the shirt, you know what I did? I got up, and I was like the second person in line, and I got Clay Matthews to autograph my Green Bay Packers Super Bowl shirt. And the other guy was like, you're supposed to be a Bears fan. He's from Kenosha. He's like, I'm a devout Bears fan. And, like, I can't believe you went over there. I was like, look, if I'm forced to wear a shirt, I may as well make the most out of it. Aren't your kids fans, too? Why are you standing here not getting a signature? He's like, oh, you're right. So he didn't even get a signature because it was too late because the line was way too long. So that's my story, gentlemen. Appreciate it. This is Robert. I'm hanging up.
Thank you, Robert. Appreciate the call, man.
He went a long distance from where we started. Good stuff.
Just sharing a story.
Yeah, no, good stuff.
Steven's in Roselle. He finds a flaw in your logic. Steven,
you're on
with Meller and Rogers in for Waddle and Sylvie today. What's up, bud?
Not much, guys. So my aunt, when she was dating my uncle, I was 10, 11 years old. It was 2002, going into 2003, and I watched the entire season of Ohio State football, the year that they won the national championship with Craig Krenzel and Maurice Clarett, with her. And so now I am the biggest Ohio State fan in the state of Illinois, and I don't see the issue with it, but apparently that breaks the rule, doesn't it?
No, not really. I mean, this was your aunt, so did she? I assume she went to Ohio State, right?
She did not. Her father was a member of the best damn band in the land and had season tickets. They still have the season tickets now that he's passed on. And I go to at least a game, if not two, every year with her.
That doesn't really break the rule because college is a little different in that sense because there is no Chicago team that you grow up with. I mean, you know what I mean? Not Northwest. You know what I'm saying? That's college is a little different.
Chicago's Big Ten team.
You know what I'm saying. You don't grow up with it the same way you would the Bears. And so if your aunt or someone was associated with Ohio State, my wife went to Ohio State. It's fine to be an Ohio State fan until you go to your own school. Then you become a fan of that school, right?
What are you going to do when Iowa plays Ohio State?
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm asking a legit question.
I'm not a fan of Ohio State. This is part of my point. She went to Ohio State. I didn't. I went to Northern. I'm a fan of Northern, and I'm a fan of Iowa. I'm not a fan of Ohio State.
In fact,
I don't like Ohio State because they win so much.
Now that you're a diehard Hawkeye fan, give me your top three Iowa Hawkeyes football players.
So I want to tell you a story about going to a Northwestern game because I'm ignoring your question. I got
you're not going
to
give me a Jay Helgenberg.
I got seats from North. I got seats for a Northwestern.
An Alex Karras.
I got seats
Webster's
for
dad.
I got seats for a Northwestern Ohio State game and from Northwestern. It was like a Seinfeld thing.
Andre Tippett.
My wife wears her Ohio State gear in like the athletic director's seats over at Northwestern. I'm like, you cannot wear this. And she's doing the OIO, whatever thing they do. And
they're
dotting
the eye.
Yeah, you are embarrassing me wearing your Ohio State gear in like the athletic department seats. So I am not a fan of Ohio State. I'm a fan of the school I went to and a fan of the school my daughter is going to.
Bob Sanders, Merton Hanks,
okay,
Dallas
good.
Clark. Learn these names if you're going to be a Hawkeye.
I thought you were going to ask me current names. I don't
know.
I can't.
No, you got to get
but
the legends.
After tomorrow's legends. Game against San Diego State, South Dakota State, I'm going to name the entire offense for sure. And then I'm going in 2 weeks when they play Nevada.
All right.
Big tilt.
All right. Well,
so those are the rules.
We will book
Let
you for a report on that
become
one.
Become a Bears fan or whatever city he's born in or she's born and raised in. That's the team's. They should be fans of.
Aaron Kampman, Paul Krause. Adam Abdallah joins us next.
Stream live sports and original content with ESPN Plus today. You get access to the award-winning 30 for 30 library, unrivaled UFC access, including exclusive pay-per-views, live coverage of the 35 PGA Tour events each year, and more. Get the ESPN Plus and Disney Plus bundle today and watch ESPN Originals, the 30 for 30s, the entire Disney and Marvel library, and much, much more than that. Stream anytime, anywhere. Go to ESPNChicagoBundle.com to learn more.
The Bundesliga and FA Cup, too.
There you go. I know you like that.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
White Sox! White Sox! Go! Go! White Sox!
This is it! Last pair of free tickets to give away to White Sox and Tigers. It's the last pair of free tickets on a Free Ticket Friday for this summer. Caller 7 right now gets a pair of tickets to see the Sox and Tigers on September 24th. Brought to you, of course, by our fine partners over at Miller Lights. 312-332-3776 if you'd like those pairs. Don't forget White Sox and Twins coming your way. Pregame starts at 6:30. Tyler Aki will have that for you. Connor McKnight and Darren Jackson will have the call. First pitch at 7:10. I'm Jeff Meller along with Jesse Rogers as we have the opportunity now to crosstalk with Adam Abdallah flying solo on Bleck and Abdallah this evening.
I got a question for you, Adam.
I have an answer for you, maybe.
Which one of these news stories was more surprising to you? Lonzo Ball will miss the beginning of the season?
No.
Or
Ted Phillips
retiring?
That was Phillips.
But neither was shocking.
No, Ted Phillips is because Ted Phillips is his expert, like if you like Ted Phillips or not, his expertise is, you know, money management and doing that kind of stuff. And so building a stadium and doing the contract negotiations and overseeing everything for the next how many years to build the stadium, that's what he's supposed to be doing. Not sitting in on coach interviews and sitting in on GM interviews, maybe GM interviews, but not coach interviews and, you know, dealing with players and all that kind of stuff. He's supposed to be making a stadium. That's what he's supposed to be doing. So for him to do this and be like, hey, guess what? We're going to Arlington. Bye. Like that to me seems a little weird.
Well, there's a part of me that is also feeling like he may have been pushed as much as he walked out the door. So maybe it's like he's getting them from point A to point B in Arlington.
He used to be my neighbor.
Someone else is going to finish it off.
Yeah.
He used to be my neighbor.
Used to be my neighbor when I was growing up.
How'd you not get the scoop then?
Oh, I said used to be.
Yeah.
Used to be. You know what? I haven't lived at home in 20 years,
listen,
Tyler.
If Mike Tice gets the head coaching job of a lookout, Adam Abdallah's breaking that news for you.
Yeah, you can't even get Nate Tice.
Yeah, I can't even get his son to come on a show, so I don't know if that relationship is still there.
I guess that's a good way of putting it, though.
How about this? Was this more surprising? The Bears unveiling their Arlington Heights plans on the NFL opener. Does that strike you as odd?
No, it doesn't. I don't think that. I mean, it's not on a Sunday at noon,
right?
I think you just here's the deal.
Jeff and I were arguing about this.
They're doing it at Arlington High School, so there's probably stuff going on. It's the beginning of the year. There's probably stuff happening. They wanted to do it at a location where people could show up.
Maybe George doesn't know that there's a game Thursday night.
Maybe not. I think it's probably just, you know, it's a high school. There's a lot of stuff going on. It's the only day they can get the gym or whatever they're doing.
Think about the difference. 3 years ago, now next Thursday, the Bears were opening the NFL's 100th season against the Packers. Three years ago.
That was before we hated Matt Nagy.
It was probably the height of Matt Nagy's popularity
in
Chicago before fans were chanting.
Khalil Mack had a really good game. Didn't he?
Yeah. Well, remember they lost that game 10-3. The offense was atrocious. I don't know if Mac had a good game that game because remember the previous year on Sunday Night Football was his
first game.
That was the great game.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
3 years ago, they were at Soldier Field opening the NFL's 100th season, and boy, it got
bad. And three years later, they're going to be in a gymnasium. Is that what you said?
Exactly. While the NFL opens the season at SoFi Stadium, the Bears will be in Arlington Heights. And
but you know how these community meetings go. There's going to be the people that have legit questions. There's going to be the old lady that'll be like, my cat doesn't like crowds. What are you going to do for my cat?
Totally.
And it's going to be like, I don't know. Keep him inside. What do you want me to tell you, lady?
Right. It's gonna feel like one of those school board meetings people just come over. Or from Parks and Rec, they would have those.
Yeah. It's 100%. That's the first thing I thought of was Parks and Rec, is where you're going to get all these people. They're going to be like, what about the bench in the park?
So I think Jeff might be right. Maybe the actual game, the opening game, will serve as a distraction.
Yeah.
And you won't get those. Or maybe you'll only get those people.
You might only get those people.
Instead of the NFL fans.
And here's the thing. I don't think they care. I think this is all just
something
eyewash.
You have to do.
You're like, okay, whatever. We listen to your concerns.
Good baseball term, eyewash, for you.
We're putting the stadium there, whatever. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Get ready for the traffic.
I listen.
They're right. Who cares? It's 10 times a year.
Yeah.
You know.
And concerts. You don't think that people enjoy hearing shows?
That's the thing. It's not going to, for Arlington Heights,
that's true.
Anyone who lives there, it's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, more than 10 times a year.
Whatever. Just playing football games. And I'm curious to see, listen, I'm sure there won't be answers because it's the unveiling. These are first time mock-ups and plans that we'll probably see. We're not going to get any concrete answers, but what's the plan for the traffic flow in Arlington Heights? Because I don't.
What's the plan for the traffic flow here?
Anywhere, right?
Well, the traffic flow plan is deal with it.
Yeah, no,
deal with it.
That's exactly it.
I've been to ballparks old and new all across the country. It's bad everywhere.
That's the slogan. Deal with it.
It don't come. We'll sell tickets to someone else. It's the NFL. We'll sell tickets.
Plan.
Taylor Swift will sell out. Don't worry about it. You don't want to sit in traffic. Don't come.
Plan for a 2 hour commute.
Yeah, or take the train. Whatever you want to do.
Figure it out.
Yeah. They don't care.
All right, you got 30 minutes before White Sox baseball. What do you got planned?
I do. It's an all-calls welcome. Friday, we'll talk a little Bulls with this Lonzo Ball news, a little Bears, song of the night, all that good stuff. We'll preview a little bit of Chicago's college tailgate coming up tomorrow at 9 a.m. With myself and Tyler. So we got a bunch. We got a lot to cram. What was the old saying used to be? We got 10 pounds of stuff to put in a 5-pound bag, Jesse.
Oh, that's a good one. That's an oldie but a goodie. All right. Well, have a great one, Adam. Good seeing you. Have a good holiday weekend, Jeff.
You as well,
everybody have a great holiday weekend. Enjoy your day off on Labor Day. Thanks to Braxton Jones, Bears rookie left tackle. He was excellent. Check out the podcast if you missed it. Also, thanks to Connor McKnight, who's got the call of tonight's White Sox game. Thank you to you for listening. I'm Jeff Meller. He's Jesse Rogers. Waddle and Sylvie back on Tuesday. See you later.